few minutes to reflect on each chapter. And I really think that this is such a wonderful group. I think that only leaders get together like you. I'm sure that in your community and in your homes that you are the ones that are the go-to girls, because you're getting together, you're building yourselves up, you're pouring stuff into yourself. I know you're holding yourself accountable. Those are the things that require a lot of attention, and those are the things that when you miss out on the strategies to get through life's problems. So I'm really happy that you're doing that. I'm happy you're going through the book. It's just all the years of what I poured into my family just kind of lumped into a book. So sometimes maybe the categorizing might not be perfect, but at least it's very challenging. And I hope that you take a lot of opportunities to discuss it and take it to the next level yourselves. I'm not going to really go through the book because I think you are well able to do that in your group. But there's a few things that I want to go through that might be in the book. But mostly I just want to encourage you as moms to more practically apply some of the things in the book. I think that as we're challenged with raising kids, the one thing that we sometimes can fail to do is keep our eyes on where we're headed. Because you wake up, in fact, I'm waking up with little ones too now. I was up late with my granddaughter that was crying. And I woke up early with another one because my daughter's living with me with her 3-year-old and her 1-year-old. And it's really fun. She sold her house and she's waiting to get a new one. So it's been a lot of fun to have her there. But it would be kind of foolish for us to jump in the car and fill up the gas tank and then just hit the road, wouldn't it? Not knowing where we're headed. But sometimes that's the way you feel when you wake up with your kids up and the day's on you and you're just trying to get to the next thing really fast. And a lot of times you don't get to keep your eyes on the goal or the destination or where you're headed. And so that's why I think I love sharing with your group so much, as I love to get your eyes on when you're looking at the little ones that are in your arms, to get your eyes on them in high school and the things and the challenges that are going to face them in junior high based on their personalities that no one is going to know like a mom. You're going to see every single one of your child's strengths, which are usually disguised as a weakness when they're young because it hasn't been intentionally and strategically and purposefully directed. So it usually tends to go into the misdirection of those strengths. And you're going to see those things. And only a mom can believe the best when she's seeing the worst. And we have to help our husbands do the same because they're not as apt to see the best when they're experiencing the worst. But we have to be able to see some of the challenges that are facing our kids and what we think because of their inherent personality and their nature, what kind of things are going to affect them when they hit high school and beyond, and how we can train them to get through the misuses of some of their strengths so that they can get through the high school years. I've had a lot of parents tell me when they get to have teenagers, they're just like, I don't know why they think the world revolves around them. But if you look back to their childhood, you can certainly see that from the moment they're born, our world does revolve around them. So when they're young, it's really wise for us to develop ways that we can purposefully train them that, no, the world doesn't revolve around you. You know, even though we never want to do anything without their best interests in mind, we don't want them to be raised thinking the world revolves around them. It's kind of difficult to do that. It will not happen by accident. It has to be strategically developed because our kids have a lot of needs. And we have a lot of desires for our kids. A lot of times we want to give our kids the things that we didn't have. And sometimes, in fact, more often than not, it is wiser for us to not give them too many things than for us to give them too many things. In fact, I was sharing, I heard Chris Helmsley, or whoever it is that's Thor, was sharing about his children, and he said, I don't want to take away from my children the ability to work towards things and earn those things. And I've always said that, so I was so excited to see him say that, because a lot of times we're plopping things in front of our kids before they even know they want them. And it's really exciting to come on this to be able to share with you right through the holidays, I'm really excited because there's a few things I want to share with you that I am hoping will change your attitudes and your ideas and maybe expand them a little bit towards the holidays and what you want to give your children. And some of these things will actually go into a bigger scope for more things, but they will apply towards the holidays, but they'll even apply towards other areas as well. The Bible says that those things that you have both received and learned and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace will be with you. And those to me are the four ways that we receive information and knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge obviously is receiving information and wisdom is applying it. So we want to get beyond knowledge to wisdom. But so I believe that the way that God has us to learn and grow is to receive and learn and hear and see, and then we can do. So I really use those four things with my kids. If they're going to learn and they're going to grow, then they're going to have to learn. If they're going to learn, that means what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to teach. And if they're going to receive, then I have to give. If they're going to hear, then I have to speak it out. I can't just model it. A lot of good parents are modeling stuff and thinking their kids are going to catch it without the rest of it, and it doesn't work that way. And that's why they get thrown into a tizzy, because when they get teenagers, they're like, I modeled giving. And I'm like, yeah, you modeled giving, but they were the takers, so they're like expert takers. You know, you can't just model it. You've got to speak it too. And they're going to hear, so you're going to speak it. And they're going to, what was the fourth one that I missed? And if they're going to see it, I have to do it in front of them. That is a critical one. I'm going to go through each one of these. This actually was not my direction when I first came into it. But that's okay. We're going to go with this because I really feel that this is the way we should go. But, okay, so when you teach, I think that the first thing is we are busy. We are running out the door. First thing in the morning, a lot of times we're chasing after kids' activities and stuff like that. So we have to realize God's value in a minute. It says a day to him is like 1,000 years. He said that one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight, right? So I think his number strategy is way different from us. He said we're supposed to plant seeds and sow seeds and then expect the harvest. I love that whole word picture because that means every little seed you plant, say you plant some tomato seeds, that tomato plant that grows has however many tomatoes on it with exponential amounts of seeds in it. So what you have to realize that when you're sowing seeds, for good or for bad, I might add, that those seeds that you're sowing every day have potential for unbelievable harvests. So even as you're teaching, you've got to show them victory in areas they're going to struggle with. It's very interesting to me because many times, not always, but many times we can see the kid, things our kids struggle with because we've struggled with the same things. So, and even if it's colored a different color, it's still the same problem. So I had a son that he was very distracted. I was homeschooling, and for the reason that they wanted to put him on drugs, and I didn't feel like that was his direction for him. So I was actually encouraged by one of his teachers to take him home work with him. So I did. I taught him to close out the drawers. Interestingly enough, I'm now working with my granddaughter, his daughter, and I'm teaching her reading. And every time we start to read, she gets so distracted and starts talking to me about LOL dolls and everything. I go, put it in the drawer. We're going to close that drawer, and we'll talk about it later. She goes, okay. She puts it in the drawer, and then when we're done, I was actually getting her in the car. She said, Nana, can I open those drawers now? So it's really funny because, you know, my son had the same problem as me, and his daughter has the same problem as him. But it is great to be able to train her to say, okay, no, we're not thinking about that. We can only think about one thing. So if that drawer pops up and we're going to close it, I'll put it in the drawer, you know. And it's really nice to teach her not to be distracted so that she can apply herself to what we're doing. And that's what I did with my son. But the point is, like, you have to see and teach them how to get victory. what are they going to do if he's going to implode on his sister when he gets upset and doesn't get his way? And what are you going to teach him? I had to be able to say, look at me, what I do when I get upset. I stop. I wait. And we have to give him a few basic steps to help him overcome that. And that is so important because as we're coming down the holidays, one thing I wanted my kids to do, I want them to enjoy the holidays. And so what do I have to do if I'm going to teach that? I have to enjoy the holidays. You know, it says in the Bible, it's better to have a crumb on the corner of a rooftop than a full banquet with a nagging woman. Like, seriously, that's one of the ruling decisions I made early on in my life. I said, I don't care if I deserve Cheerios for dinner, because they won't remember that, and they're going to make it nutritionally. But I want it, whatever I can serve, it's got to be done with joy, or I don't want it. I want my home to be a happy home. So you have to decide what ruling decision. How many of you know how to play pinochle? Do you know how to play pinochle? So what you do is, like, say I want my home to be a safe place. So if I'm like a naggy person and my husband's coming home and I'm going to lay stuff on him, that is not his safe place. He is not going to rush to get home. It's going to, a lot of husbands actually purposely stay away from home because they can't handle the problems at home. So, or they don't call their wives because they don't want to hear the issues. So if I want him to call me and have him know that my voice is his safe place, I have to strategically, like, when my kids were little, I had to literally strategically, like, write things down that were cute and fun to tell him so that I didn't tell him about the faucet and the lights and the things that were going wrong that he couldn't really do anything about until later anyway. So why did I have to burden him with those things? That was not magnetically going to attract him to call me again soon, because he'd be like, I can barely get through my day. I can't add her problems. You know, so I really, that decision trumped my decision to tell him the wrong things that were happening. And so I made a decision. I want my home to be a safe place. I want my home to be a happy place. And so those things trumped my desire to have a clean house. And I am a total freak out meat freak. But sometimes you just don't know it from looking at my house, because I put that down. Right now, I put it down. My kids moved in. They know I polish my counters 10 times a day. They know I vacuum. I'm a vacuum freak. But you know what? Not now, because I want them to know they're safe and they're free to live here and to have kids' toys out and to have their little boys build things. It's okay. When I have my house filled with my 14 grandchildren, six and under, my decision isn't to have a super neat home that I can walk around blindfolded, which I get to have when they're not there. I just wipe everything down with my little Norwex cloths, and before you know it, all the fingerprints are gone. But while they're there, I don't want them thinking that they couldn't live, and I want them to know that I enjoyed every second with them. So I've got to make that my ruling decision. So for your ruling decision, you know, for the holidays, I mean, I've even told my kids, you guys, if you can't enjoy your holidays as a family coming to do the Christmas or Thanksgiving with us, then take turns and do every other year. But you are in charge of making holidays a wonderful experience for your family. I do a lot of traditions. I do gingerbread cookies and let everyone kind of decorate them. I do, you know, sprinkles. In fact, it was really funny because I was at my one daughter's and I said, we're doing gingerbread houses. Everyone comes up, gingerbread cookies and decorating cookies. So everyone comes over and she goes, just don't bring them here. Like last year we had sprinkles everywhere. She goes, no sprinkles. I go, who wants sprinkles? And all the kids go, yay, sprinkles. I go, Bethany, get used to it. For the next 15 years, you're having glitter and sprinkles everywhere. And you know, we were just having a big war, like the kids, I was like, who wants sprinkles everywhere? Everywhere sprinkles. And all the kids are like, yeah, sprinkles. And I said, who doesn't want sprinkles? She's going, no sprinkles. And they're going, sprinkles. It's so cute. But, you know, she was laughing and she said, yeah, I have to live with sprinkles, you know. But I mean, really, you have to make those decisions to enjoy those times. They're going to go by so fast. And honestly, the memories through them, they're just going to be wonderful. And there are so many helps to utilize right now for the holidays. Believe me, I am not talking out of inexperience here. I do so many things. Like I have Christmas Eve brunch now with all, you know, five kids, their spouses, the 15 grandkids. I have them all over for kind of like a breakfast lunch thing. And then they kind of turn around and straggle out at about 4. And at 6, I have several of them that don't have Christmas Eve plans come in with some of their in-laws, and I do a big dinner. And then I have them turn around and leave. And then I, because my mom is getting a little older, we do so much of the cooking. And I have all the cooking to bring out of my house for Christmas Day. And then this year, my sister moved the gingerbread houses we do at her house. But I helped put them together and everything. She moved them the day before Christmas Eve. And you know what? I don't care what. I'm going to enjoy this holiday. Or I don't need any of that. You know, I'd rather order carry out and enjoy the holiday with the people. So really be careful that you teach your kids and that they learn that holidays are a happy time. Dinner is a happy time, you know, and, you know, that they can learn to chip in and do the best that they can so that they can learn that they can take out with them when they leave your home, that they can have happy holidays. They can have happy memories. I'm going to tell you, I just believe there's a part in the Book of Revelation, and it says that like the there's like a something to devour the child when it's born. There's this beast that's there to devour a child when it's born. When I read that, it was like a weird picture to me, but I was thinking, it just reminded me that everything good in our life, it's like the devil's there to rob us of our joy. When do you hear people complaining? Holidays? Birthdays? When they're moving to a nicer house, usually? You know, weddings? Showers? All the happiest times. I will not let Satan rob me of my joy through those times. I don't care what I have to do. I made a decision that I am going to enjoy the happiest times of my life, and I'm going to live in those moments, and if I'm not enjoying it, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to readjust, and I'm going to make it so that I can enjoy it. Because I will tell you, God usually gives you the ability to get through everything that you have to get through, but some of the things that we put on ourselves are things that He doesn't want us focusing on anyways. I was listening to a message by Stephen Furtick yesterday, and it was so good. And I just loved it. And he was saying, wouldn't it be really horrible to get really, really good at a game and then to realize that that was the game that you weren't even supposed to be playing? You know, we really want to get good at what we're supposed to be doing, not what be distracted over things that really won't, not only won't matter in the end, but it will actually hurt your purposes in the end. And that is where a foolish woman will rip down her own house. And then you'll also rip down your kids' abilities to do the same thing. So we want to be careful. Also, if our kids are going to receive, we have to give. So I love that. I mean, if they're going to receive things, we got to be able to give them those things. So say for giving. If we want them to be givers, that doesn't mean that we give to them, correct? It means that we teach them how wonderful it is to give. So that's something I started when my kids were really young, embarrassingly young, because most times it did embarrass me, is to take them to nursing homes all through the year. We'd go once a month, and I'd drag them in. It was often very embarrassing. They would eat the cookies instead of sharing them. They would run. They found out the adjoining bathrooms, and they would be trying to flush the toilets because they had weird toilet flushes. And there were so many embarrassing things that happened. But they did learn the joys of giving. And afterwards, we always said, didn't that feel good that you were able to share those cookies with those residents? And did you see how happy you made them? And it taught them to be less awkward with old people who can be kind of scary. We didn't go to the real scary ones. We went to the senior homes. So we didn't go to the nursing homes where they can be a little frightening to children. But they loved seeing the kids, and I'd even have them practice their instruments. We'd bring instruments and stuff. They called us Karen and the kids, and opened it to a few people, but seriously, it was the most beautiful thing to teach them to give like that and to see them learn to give. I want to do that with my grandkids now because I don't know if my kids will even take the time or have the time to do that. I really something I want to keep going because then to say, didn't that feel good giving? Or and then we adopt a family every Christmas. So it's not just, I know a lot of you do the Christmas shoe boxes. Those are so great. Like right now you should be going through toys with your kids because they're going to get stuff for Christmas. Even if you don't overdo it, your family's going to give them stuff. So it's really nice to gather up their toys now and say, let's get these to some kids that don't have any toys, you know, and it's really a beautiful thing. So I think, and to keep it super simple for our Christmases, honestly, I do have a problem. I think kids are disgustingly gross when they open too many gifts. They're throwing it. They're looking for the next one. It seriously grosses me out to see piles of toys that some people post. I'm like, oh my word, you don't know what you're doing to your child. They're getting so entitled. You're giving them all these, you're wrapping up gloves and things that might not even cost you that much, but you're setting them up for huge disappointments when their list changes when they're teenagers and they don't have the pile. So I really think it's wise to keep that pile to like three gifts of the three wise men or something where it's something like I even stopped giving my kids gifts. What I did was I let them each pick a name even when they were little, take them to shop for one another for one gift. I would give them a gift of the Icecapades because that usually came in March. So I'd give them a ticket to the Icecapades and then defer the gift until I wasn't so grossed out. So I think like some of that can be done where you're giving an experience too. And then they get enough, you know, so it's just almost like too much. So I think it's really smart. And even to this day, my kids will tell you some of their favorite memories of Christmas were that family that we adopted because we always made sure it was interactive. So we would be able to go shopping with the family and purchase things and help them wrap gifts for each other and give things and go spend some time with them and bring cookies and food things. And a lot of times a couple families would ask me if they could give us like certificates and stuff. But even now, my family not only still does one all together with all the kids and meets a family somewhere, but a lot of them have adopted one or two families on their own. So that is their favorite thing. So really think of what you want to give and then give those things to your kids. But when I say give, I'm talking about giving ideas and principles to be beyond receiving things, you know, and give them experiences that teach them that it is far better to give than receive. If they don't have the experiences, they won't do it. So even when they go to their sports team, have them be the ones that pass out the things. You guys, I know you all make meals for one another. Have your kids take part in some of those things. You know, write the notes, write the letters, you know. And I always would walk around the house proclaiming, the happy people aren't the takers, they're the givers, you know. And we would just do little things. Maximize your minutes, like get some little sayings. Kids love sayings. You know, and they love word pictures. The other day when I was reading, I read with three of my little 5 and 6 year olds, but I was reading with my little Cora, she's 6, and she's like, no, I can't read all that. I can't do it. And I said, Cora, look at me. I said, first of all, with God, you can do everything you're supposed to do. I don't ever want to hear that because when you say that, your ears hear it, and then you start to believe it. It is so important what you say. The Bible says you can speak like the ability to kill something in you or to bring it alive. I said, you have to pick. And I said to her, I said, do you ever see Nana sad? And she goes, no. And I said, because I don't pick to be sad. I pick to have joy. And you have to pick what you want for your life. And I want you to take all those bad thoughts. You know what the Bible says? When you go fishing, she goes, she likes fishing. I said, do you just put the little line down or do you cast it far away? And she goes, like that. And I said, well, that's what God said to do to those bad thoughts, to put them up in a little package and to throw them way out there and to put the right thoughts on here and to say the right things. So when you hear them, you believe the right things. And so I always like to talk a little over my kids because I believe when Hannah brought Samuel a coat, she didn't just bring him a coat that fit. When you buy your kids a winter coat, you buy it a little big to room to grow into, right?
You're not going
to give it too tight. So give them principles that they can grow into too, because they are really able to understand usually a little bit more than we think that they can. Anyways, so it was funny because we were at a birthday party and Cora, I was very distracted with all the children. And Cora was like, Nana. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm taking bad thoughts and I'm getting rid of them. I said, good. So they catch on, you know, and that's what we want to give them. When we're giving them things, give them principles, give them power over situations. When you're tempted to blow up at someone and someone cuts you off, use those little opportunities. We don't have enough time with our kids. You have to utilize little opportunities to go the long run. So when you have an opportunity, embrace the test. If you're looking at a challenge, you know, dig deep inside of you and get all that virtue that's been put in you and get those Bible studies out and live it. And don't make any excuses to live up to everything in you. Don't talk negative and poison your kids by talking smack about other people. Keep their name safe in your mouth. You know, and your kids are going to see that, and they're going to know that when someone irritates them, that is not a reason to talk bad about them. I just actually sent out to my kids ways to keep your family together over the holidays. Just a little reminder of all the things that have helped my family, my other family stay together, my big family. So I said, oh, this, you know, my one daughter said, this is so good. And I said, yeah, I really need to post this. So a lot of times you can read some of the posts in the Raising Children blog on my website, which is just myname.com. But I try to put little things up there because usually it's not what you don't know that hurts you. Usually you know the information, but it's like one of those old spices that you have way in the back of your spice, you know, closet or whatever. You have to pull it out and put it in the front to remember it's there so that you use it. Because sometimes we know the right things to do. We just don't have it in the forefront of our mind. And so a lot of times it's good to rehearse those things before things happen that have an opportunity where you're going to fall short of what you want to live up to. So you want to keep that forefront in your mind. Like, okay, this is our safe home. You know, and teaching your kids to get along together, you have to use your, like if you're going to give them that and they're going to receive that, you got to think. A lot of times what helped me when I was raising my kids when they were younger, I would think like, what would they do at work for this situation when they get older? And I would think, well, they're not getting along. They're not getting their own office. So you don't put your kid in their room. That could be the best thing that ever happened to them. You know, you don't like remove them and promote them. No, a lot of times if they weren't getting along, in fact, it's interesting. I was at the funeral, actually. A girl came up to me. She goes, I can't believe you told us that years ago. This has helped me so much. But, you know, you take the two of them and you say, oh, it's depending on their ages. You two aren't getting along. You know what? We're not going forward until you do this together. Decide how you're going to work it out and come and tell me. Now, a lot of times I would put them in a smaller space, the bathroom, a big closet, and I would just stand there and wait to protect them often too, to, you know, depending on how aggressive some of your kids may be. But, you know, you teach them the ways to work it out. And then after you've given them the principles of how to do it, you put them in the bathroom and let them test it out. They will surprise you because they will not move forward until they come out with a plan. I usually made them hold hands. You don't have to do that. It was very cute, though. And they would think of a way that they're going to get along together. As they got older, they knew that if they were irritating each other, I said, oh, love isn't easily irritated, so you must not have enough love for that person. So what I'm going to have you do is, I'm going to have you do their chores. And then you're going to love them more because you're going to invest more in them. And then, no, we're not going forward until you play sorry together. And then if you can play that game getting along, then you can go on with your other activities. Otherwise, you guys are stuck sitting there. So you know what? You put them and you teach them to get along. You don't teach them to separate. We have enough of that in this world. You don't get along, you separate. You don't get along with your work, you quit. But that just leaves a bunch of littered relationships. if we don't get along and we want to make long-term relationships, we learn to get along. We learn to overlook. You know, it's a glory to overlook a transgression. As we forgive, we're going to be forgiven. If you don't forgive that person, you're going to make it so I can't forgive you. And you've done some pretty wrong things today. So you're going to sit there until you learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is drinking poison and thinking the other person's going to die. You, it's going to hurt you. So we have to teach our kids to know how to forgive. And, you know, a lot of times we'll have good reasons to do that in our own families. Interestingly enough, like, your kids will see if someone in your family says something wrong to you or does something wrong to you. And it's a great opportunity to say, you know what? Yeah, but they were in a rush. I'm just going to forgive them. The Bible says not to take heed to words that are spoken in haste, because I've spoken some words in haste too. And the Bible says it's woe to those who make a man an offender for a word. I'm not going to sit and hold everyone captive because they felt some kind of need to lash out at me. I just say, let it go, lay it down, give it up, forget about it. You know, keep your little unicorn and rainbow world. But you're going to do that by not holding other people hostage or expecting something from them that they really might not be able to give you because they might not have it. But you know what? You have it. You have forgiveness. You can see the best. You have love that believes the best because God's in you. And his love is going to break down barriers and break down walls. And it's going to go the extra mile. And it's going to love when someone doesn't deserve it. And it's going to be able to forgive because we've been forgiven so much. And you're going to be able to believe the best even when you see the worst. Because even when you can't, his spirit in you can. And so if you get yourself out of the way, he'll be able to do that through you. So a lot of times we just have to get our emotions out of the way and not take things so personally and realize that sometimes other people's problems, we're taking them on and making them our own. When we can explain that to our kids, my kids know. My family gets sometimes irritated with me because I get a little hyper and stuff, but a lot of times they'll say, oh, that person said that to you and blah, blah, blah. I say, they're worth it. They didn't mean it. You know, that it's fine. You know, and I said, they're worth it. And you know what? I'll go right to their strong points. I go, there is no one loyal like that to me. She's never talked, you know, bad about who I am. She might be short and abrupt with me or come off the wrong way, but they are loyal. They are true. And I love them in my life. And it's important for me to overlook everything that they're not. As a family, that's one of the biggest things I think that's helped me is to not just love my husband or my kids for who they are, but to love them for who they're not. You know, my kids know that I don't expect them to be everything, to be something. And it sets me so free because I know that I can't be everything to everybody, but I can still be something. And I think, like, letting my husband know how much I love him and how much I appreciate him with my words and my actions, even though he can disappoint me. But you know what? My expectation is from God. I let my husband do things for me, but God is the one who provides my needs according to his riches. If you're looking for people to provide your needs, you're going to always be disappointed. So you really have to learn to let everything come from God. And I will promise you, every single thing, spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, if you let God know your needs, he will provide them according to his riches. He will never fail you. You know, and you can have a testimony even when we're walking through the hardest times. My mom just told me the other day, she said, she called me and we were talking and, you know, she's so sad, you know, because my brother's gone and everything, and it happened very suddenly. He was just going for a doctor's appointment and ended up dying. I was in California and he had to fly home. And it was just like, she said, Karen, she said, God has been with me every step of the way. She goes, I sometimes wonder who's going to do the things he did for me, you know, but we're working on that, my sister and I. But she said, but she goes, God was so merciful in his death, like even where my mom didn't have to deal with him getting super, super sick in front of her. He got super, super sick after he got to the doctor's office. So she didn't have to worry about all that because she couldn't have even gotten down the stairs to get him. So she was just like, and he was in so much pain. And, you know, he had surgeries like for his knees that he couldn't have. And he was actually headed for to have to go into a wheelchair or something. She said, God was so merciful. And I know where he is. And she said, I just know that I have to be so grateful to God that he's provided everything that my son needed and everything I needed. And I can't hold him for more because I had 59 years to be grateful. I cannot choose to be ungrateful or say why to God when he's giving me so much. And so I feel that we are going to find what we're looking for. We're going to find reasons to be grateful. We're going to find reasons to, you know, want more, but we have to give those things to God and we have to trust him for everything that we need. And he, you're going to always look back and say, it was well done. And then you're going to love your husband through it. It's like I was telling my one daughter-in-law, every time she tries to go out, her husband can't show up and she's trying to do a business. And I said, well, that was my problem too. I mean, I would sign up to do some women's ministry thing or something. My husband would just be like, oh, he never even called me and he's like stuck in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, well, he's letting me know at the time I'm supposed to walk out the door. I'm just like, oh my God. So you have a choice there. You want your house to be a safe place and you don't want to be that naggy wife. You want to be someone that is can love their husband freely. And where do your needs come from? God doesn't want your needs to come from your husband. Honestly, if my husband could have been home, he would have been home. He couldn't. And so what I started to do is just get a babysitter. If I was supposed to go out, I get a babysitter. And believe me, your home is going to be better off with a qualified person watching the children than with you strangling your husband and having all kinds of problems in your mind about him and getting all resentful because he can't do what you need from him. So you know what? Be creative. Look for different ways to get your needs met. If God's going to meet your needs, he might not do it where you think they should be coming from. A lot of times I thought, well, my sister-in-law's kids a little older. She should be giving me clothes. And I'd just get like all resentful. And then I'd remember this because I was teaching it. And I'd go over it and pull that spice out and hold myself accountable to it. Give my list to God. And I cannot tell you the supernatural experiences that I've had where people would literally, out of the blue, without me even saying, bring exactly what I needed to church or give me something that I needed because God wanted to show me that he was my source. So let those husbands go. Let those people go, you know, and just purpose to enjoy people. Interestingly enough, like, you know, my brother was really having a hard time walking around. So my mom and I were talking just before he died, like a week before, and she was just like, oh, it's just so hard. You know, it just really bothers me that he can't really walk around and the way he's handling, you know, his knee problem. And I was able to share with her and we were, and I said, look, right now, let's just love everything that he is. Otherwise, if something ever happened to him, I didn't even have any idea. I'm not kidding you. I said, if something ever happened to him, wouldn't you want to know that you enjoyed him for everything he is in your life and overlooked those things that bother you? And here, like a week and a half later, he died suddenly. And you know what? I say to the people in your life the same thing. You know what? Overlook those things that bother you. God didn't give you the job of being the jury, the judge, the image consultant, the, you know, the person to pick them out and, you know, pick them apart and put them under a microscope and analyze and make decisions for them. You know, even when your kids get older, you get so tempted to make decisions for them. But you know what? I always say when they were younger, I kept thinking to my head, let go of the bike. Let go of the bike. Because, you know, you never want to let go of the bike. You want to just run alongside. You don't care if you trip. You just don't want them to fall. But sometimes when they're growing up, you have to let go of the bike. And they might fall and they might crash, but they're never going to learn to ride unless you let go of that bike. And so you have to provide unique opportunities, especially between the time they're like 15, 17, getting ready to launch out. You got to provide opportunities where you're going to let them make some decisions. And some of them are going to hurt them. And some of them you're going to have to punish them for and pull them back in. But, and it's the same thing when they get older. It's like, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty warrior, so are kids in the hand of the youth. Well, what do you do when you release the arrow? I reminded my husband of this. You let the arrow go. It's never going to hit the mark. You let it go. Your role has changed. And so we have to learn those things. But ask yourself, what is your role? If it's not your role, butt out. Let people learn. Give people a chance to change. And let your kids see that. Let your kids learn by watching you and by hearing you. Tell them the way you're looking at things. Not in a dissecting sort of way, which is more information that they need to know about somebody, but wherever they're at. You know, I would tell my husband, things at work, explain to our kids. So even if he said, you know, that guy was trying to take credit for my work, but God's word said for me to love him anyways, and that's what I'm doing. I'm looking for ways. I forgive him. So there's ways that you can handle it without all the extra information about somebody that you don't need to tell. There's ways to teach them how to get through their problems, you know, and it's going to just equip your kids to get through problems, because you want to get a kid that can stand alone. So when they're younger, you're not trying to put them in clothes to, you know, all the trendiest thing and make it so important that they're so trendy and so everything, because when they're in junior high, you want them to feel secure and not having to wear the latest trend. You don't want them to be like socially acceptable. So, you know, you want to teach them that they can be different. If they want to wear a Lego shirt and everyone else is wearing a whatever shirt, you want to teach them that that's okay. You know, so pay attention to the things that you do kind of innocuously, and you're not thinking ahead, but take it to the next level in your mind. Say, how does this way that I'm doing this, how's that going to work in junior high? How's it going to work at their job? How's that going to work in their marriage? And how can I tweak it so that it's going to bring me down the road I want to go down with that? You know, so that's how you're going to come up with philosophies for your children that are going to help you to, you know, nurture their nature and to help them live beyond the bad points of their nature. Do you know what I mean? So if one kid is like a perpetual complainer, obsessive, compulsive type person, and they just wake up, my bed, my cereal, the milk touch, the cereal, you know, I got a little drop on my shoe, you know, and then they can't move forward. And you're just gonna teach them to be easygoing. You're gonna look for opportunities. You're gonna develop strategies. You know, my daughter would crumble if something was out of the lines, you know, and she would just fall apart, and I'd just be like, you know what? Look at that tree. It's not perfect. Look how wonderful it is. We're going to try our hardest, but if we get a little out of line, it's okay. We're just going to keep trying to get it in, but if it doesn't work out, it's fine. So you teach them different strategies and look for opportunities to say, oh, look, at Mom messed up this recipe. I put a little too much of this in, and look, it's still good, or this doesn't wreck this. And now that daughter is such a qualified dentist. I mean, she would rather have no one else working on your root canal, believe me. But it's just like, you know, God knows where they're going, and they have a certain nature, and they're all so different, but you are there to nurture their nature and to make it to go the right direction and to not crumple them, but to be able to use the strengths and the weaknesses to show God's glory. So also speak, and you want to speak. You want to say why you do the things you do. It's funny because, you know, when you're playing a game or picking a movie, we're not going to do that this time. No, you know, my kids, they love my jelly beans, my grandkids. So, no, you already had too much sugar today. That sugar is going to beat up all the things that are going to fight your cold. So we're not going to give you any more sugar. And just tell them the whys. Tell your kids the whys, why you do the things that you do. Look for opportunities. This is so big to teach your kids to deny themselves. You know, teach them ways to wait with their rewards. Like we used to have a famous one of putting popcorn kernels into a cup, a measurement cup. And when it got to half a cup, we'd make a big deal and have a popcorn party. You know, but it taught them to wait for the reward. You know, I put up a memory game because my one daughter had temper tantrums and it just took so much time to do it, go through that right. So I put up the memory game and I go, my plan is to play this when you get up from your nap. Now, what's your plan? Because if we take all this time of you not going to sleep, we're not going to be able to play the memory game together. And that would be so sad. So, you know, think of ways that you can train them without doing what they're doing. I think a lot of times, you know, one kid's fighting with the other and they're, you know, yelling at each other and you're just so mad. And I've seen so many moms go, you are not going to yell at them, you know, and you're like, whoa, you're doing the same thing. You're not teaching them victory over yelling at somebody. You know, you're not going to be able to say, look what I do when I'm frustrated. Or you'll say, you know, don't hit your sister, and you'll smack him on the butt. And you're like, well, you just, wait a minute, this is not good. You can't use the same behavior you're trying to eradicate the behavior. So what you want to do is you want to think of not a punishment, you want to think of what you can do to train them. So even if you sit down and say you don't even have a lot of time because you're going out, and you definitely don't want to say, now you're not going to your cousin's birthday party. Why should their cousin suffer? Like, that is not an option. We're all going to your cousin's birthday party. You do not have that much control over the family. You know, sometimes we give our kids way too much control. I used to tell my kids, I homeschooled all five. So I said, oh, you have a suggestion? Write it down and put it in the suggestion box under the sink. Like, I'm sorry.
The garbage can.
You know what? They are not getting any suggestions. Like, sometimes they do not have, I mean, we had an appeal process that they could say, can I appeal when they got older? Like, well, can I just come home there because of this
like
and come home a little bit later, whatever. They got one appeal and then it was over. But you know what? They go to work and they think that their opinion counts so much and then they crumble because, no offense, no one cares what your kid thinks when they're going to work. So you don't want to set them up for that. So you want to teach them, like, yeah, your opinion's great, but it doesn't count here. Like, you know, you really, really need to be a little bit, I'm pretty tough, but I'm really tough, like, in a disguised way. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry, but now we can't have friends over because we're working on inside-out living, so if you don't get along with your sister, we can't add friends. So let's work on getting along with your sister, then we can add friends, but sorry. Friends are off until this is going on right here. So I would never let it, like my kids now, the reason I wrote the book is they compelled me to because my one son has kids now. He's like, how did you raise us without yelling? Like, how did you do that? Like, I need to know, you know, can you give us the strategies how you did this? Because they know I did it purposely. But sometimes my favorite words were, I'm not talking. Like, if you want your kids to be able to control what comes out of their mouth, you have to control what comes out of your mouth. And sometimes you just have to learn to shut up, and you have to be the mature one, and you should be able to know when nothing good's coming out. And it was quite often that nothing good was going to come out of my mouth, so I would say, I am not talking right now, you know? And it would just be like, I'll talk. Well, what's going to happen? What are you going to do to me?
What are you going to do to me?
I know. I will decide, but I am not deciding that right now. And sometimes I would just wait until that adrenaline stops going. You should not be opening your mouth if your adrenaline's going, if you're going to say the wrong thing, if you're going to say something injurious to your kid about their personality. I mean, you know, I had a son that was so cute. He would get so mad because I would make I was very active and I made him do all these crazy things. Like I made my junior high school kids do a triathlon, do a mini triathlon. I thought it was so good for them, you know. And we did the turkey trot. We did all this fun stuff, but we would go canoeing and go camping. And he would be like, and horseback riding. I will never make my kids go horseback riding. And he would be like saying, I will never make my kids go canoeing. And he was drenched at the front of the canoe. And, you know, he would say, I will never make my kids go camping. And it's so funny because I said, well, this is our activity, so throw yourself into it. And it's so funny because
this is what we're doing today.
I know, with five kids, they don't always get to pick their thing. So, you know, I'll never make my kids eat food they don't want. Well, this is Hannah's day. Tomorrow might be your day. You get to pick something that you like. But so it's funny because now he's the one who organizes all the like extreme camping expeditions with all of his friends and everything. So a lot of times it's great to acclimate your kids to stuff. And kids are like us. They don't want to do something they don't feel good at doing. So if they don't feel good at doing, they're not going to feel comfortable. And I wanted my kids to be able to enjoy things that other people enjoyed, whether it was some weird, you know, sweet potato casserole that they never had with marshmallows in it, or and they're at somebody's house and they don't have anything that they feel comfortable eating, or whether it's like skiing or something, tennis or whatever. So I wanted them to have a variety of things that they could know and be confident that they don't have to be the best at everything to step in and do it. And I think, you know, that did pay off, but it results in a lot of complaining, and you have to know how to deal with the complaining. You know, you have to say, oh, you know what, the Israelites never got to the promised land by complaining, so we're going to cut the complaining. So just think of creative ways to, you know, ask yourself, what would I do in this situation? And challenge yourself to live bigger, because you want something to give to your kids. Isn't it funny when you have your kids? You're just all of a sudden, you would just do anything to give them everything you can, right? And we have to realize that the most important things that you're going to give them aren't things. It's going to be things that are going to be principles that will help them to make it through the challenges in their life. And you start that so young, because if you have it in place, then when they're teenagers, you'll have it into their heart. And like through your little Bible studies and through the ways that you share things that are deeper and taking them out and saying, you know, what are you struggling with? What can I pray for you? Like, oh, you know, and tell them things that they need to work on. Like, I want you to be a hard worker. I want when you go to work, I want them to say, if you have to miss a day, say, what happened? I can't stand when they're not here. Like when you go to school, I want, if you're not there, I don't want the teacher to go, woof. Don't have to deal with that kid today. You know, what are you adding to the room? And purposefully just pouring in with some of the things that you're going to, you know, see in the book. And even more than that, even more things that you can add, because you know their personalities and you know their struggles. And you know if one kid's struggling with being shy. I had one daughter, she just didn't want anyone to even come to her birthday party because she didn't want anyone to look at her. And she was very, very shy. And it was just like, I didn't want her to be abused, because I think sometimes really shy kids can get taken advantage of. So I taught her what to do if someone touched her inappropriately, even putting her hand on her shoulder, like to say, that is inappropriate. And you can, you know, rip down things in the mall if someone starts to take you, and just getting really extreme and teaching her. And then as she got older, just to teach her, we're going to do an experiment. If you want to see why people aren't friendly to you this week, I want you to go over the top. Just say, hi, how are you doing? Even if afterwards you're just like, oh, you know, I said, but you need to be other people conscious. We're not going to think of ourselves this week. We're going to think of other people and how we can make them feel important. And we're going to just go over the top. And by doing some of those things, when she got older, her whole personality, right when she was going to get married, it totally changed, because she did those things and she was learning. And at her shower, she was probably still thinking, oh, I just don't want to go up there with my sister. They had a double wedding, so they had a double shower. So she said, I don't want to go up there. She's so outgoing. I'm not really that outgoing. But, you know, saying, no, just don't worry about yourself. Make everyone feel that they're there for you. Just whatever you are, just put yourself out there and think about them. So she did. And from that day on, there's such a difference in her. And yesterday I was at her house and this lady was there, and she goes, I don't know what I'd do without your daughter. She's like the best person to go to for advice. She's got so much wisdom, and she just learned to put herself out there. And that's the things that you're going to be able to see in your kids and be able to help them to get through, to take your nurturing and to offset their nature so that they can have victory in whatever they decide to go in. And even if it challenges you to get victory in areas that maybe we've been just slacking, you know, like areas, and even if you can dramatize a little bit and just go, you know, if, you know, maybe somebody's there, or maybe your husband says something short to you and you just go, a lot of times I'll go. And my kids will see, and, you know, I say, that's not the time to talk. When someone's get upset, that's, and I'll tell them later, that's not the time to talk. That's the time to let them get it off their chest, and you can go back later. Those are the things that are going to train your kids, you know, by teaching them those things. So I really feel like teaching it giving it, speaking it, and doing it. All those things, they're all important and they're all equal. And I think without one, the other one doesn't work. Like, you can't just model it. You can't just be this wonderful patient. I could get my kids to their sports things every time on time. But you know what? They can grow up and leave and never know what I could train them, saying, you know what? No, we're out the door. It doesn't matter if you're done eating, because their time is just as important as your time. We're not going to disrespect their time by saying that it's more important for you to eat. We need to be considerate of other people. Now I turned a modeling experience, something that was modeling character, I turned it into a training time so that they could learn that for their lives. And so later they could think about that as they're getting ready to do something, think, why should I make all those people wait just because I want to put more makeup on or whatever as they get older? You know, my daughter called me in college and she was, she said, Mom, I remembered what you told me. If we give God his time, he will always multiply ours. She goes, I'm studying for finals, and I stopped and I went to church because I know if I give God like that time, he will never make me out of time. So those little things that you say, you know, they will come back and they will equip your children. Just keep saying them. You know, I say that they're not little birds. You don't just get one season with them. You get like 18 to 24 and sometimes even more years where they're in your home. So just be patient and keep giving it out. Because when you're sowing those seeds, you're gonna get the harvest. Just if you're sowing the right seeds, you're gonna get the right harvest. So, and your family is for signs and wonders. Like, your children will realize, just be patient and continuous in well-doing so that you reap the reward. Don't get tired. If you do get tired or a little sloppy, you know, just roll up your sleeves. Say, you know what? I'm rolling up my sleeves. I'm going to let you get away with the little stuff. That's not going to fly. We got to get back to normal here, you know, and really look and see the things that are important to you to give your children. Write them down, maybe. You'll have a lot of opportunities while you're going through the book. Write them down and work on something. Like, I just spoke to a group of seventh graders in the inner city, because my son's ministry goes down there. So I was mentoring like a group of six kids. And I went around and got their names and I said, okay, when I was your age, I didn't want to just say, where are you going? I don't want to know where you're going physically. I want to know, where are you going with you, who you are as a person? What things are tripping you up that I can maybe help you through? What problems are you having that I can help you with? And each one of them, with the exception of one girl, and I actually saw something for her to share with her anyways, each one of them gave me something that they worked on. One kid said he was lazy. This is all in junior high. And they had courage to speak that out. One kid said he didn't know how to respect authority. One girl said that she was mean. Bad attitude. The other girl, what did the other kid say? Work ethic. But they all came around with something, and oh, he talked too much. And I taught him it's easier to shut up than sweep up. So, you know, they really wanted to know little steps to offset those challenges to their personality. So see, and that was in junior high. So just think, if you start giving your kids little steps, give them one or two things that they can do if something's bothering them. Like, it's not enough if you just, you know, put them in timeout or have them write 100 times. Like, they still don't know how to handle if something's frustrating them. If their cousins are coming over and playing with their toys before their cousins come over, you know, we respect their toys. No one's going to come over and play with all my toys. Like, I'm sorry. No, I have certain things you can come over my house and play with, and there's certain things you're not touching. So, you know, no one's touching my sewing machines. They cost too much. I mean, so things that your kids value, say, okay, they're all coming over, especially all 15. Okay, so what toys should we put up and what toys can we let them play with? And let them have help. And then if you're getting overwhelmed, I teach my kids, you know, a lot of moms just say, go work it out. Well, some kids don't know how to work it out. When I'm overwhelmed, I get to go to the rock that's higher than me. So we have to give our kids a way that if they're starting to get overwhelmed, and I tell them, if you're getting overwhelmed and you don't know what to do, you need to come to me, and I'll help you work through it. Like, you need to teach them those kind of things, you know, like say, what would happen with me? How does God handle this? How does this, how would work handle this? How would this handle it? And that'll give you a lot of strategies for how to handle it, even with little kids, you know? So I don't want to keep talking. I could talk for so long. I love, raising kids is so great. This is the time of your life. It really is. Enjoy every minute. You know what the best thing is that I can say that through teaching classes and through engulfing myself at groups like this, I held myself accountable to a really high standard. And I'm mature enough that I know that there's enough in me that I can live out whatever I have to go through. God has given me the ability to do it. I hold myself accountable to a really high standard. But I can say I can look back at the times in my life and I can know that I so enjoyed all those stages. All the crazy hills and valleys and mountaintops and craziness in my family and chaos and successes and great progress reports and embarrassing progress reports and all those things that were all in there with the dark colors and the light colors to teach your children how to handle disappointments. I mean, some of the greatest things that you're going to teach your kids are how to get through disappointments, how to get through irregular people, how to handle challenging situations. Those are all your training grounds. Those are things we shouldn't shy away from. Like, we don't want to teach our kids that life is floating down the lazy river. You want to teach your kids, you can deny yourself. We're not going to get this. You're going to work towards this. We want to teach our kids the things when it's tough. Oh, yeah, that person is not going away. How are you going to deal with this coach? Let's work it out. I'll go with you, and you're going to work it out with him. Oh, this is a perspective of the umpire. We have to consider other people's perspective. How are you going to stay a little bit more inside the boundary so they don't keep calling you out, even if you don't think you're out? You know, teaching your kids all those things through problems, that's what you're going to be able to give your kids. That's what they're going to appreciate the most about you. So don't get distracted with anything that's not going to matter in the end. Get good at the game that is going to be the game you're supposed to be playing, the one that's going to give you the best results. And when you send your kids out, you're going to watch. They're going to hit their mark. You know, and even though they might make some little different decisions than you because they're not you, and they might do things a little bit differently, you're going to give them a chance to learn and grow and change, but you're going to know that they're seeking God and that they picked great spouses because of all the impact that you gave them. You've given them all the tools to live a really healthy and victorious life through the challenges. That's the best gift you're going to get your kids, is the getting through challenges the right way. So, and those are the four ways of impartation that you can look at. Does anybody have any particular questions or anything? I mean, I know I spoke a lot. I hope that helps, but I think as you read the book, you'll get a lot more ideas. But, like, what do you think? Anybody have any questions specifically, something you're dealing with? Or
the night shift. Someone send coffee.